Steve. I appreciate all that Steve does, his work. But more than that, his love of Christ. I would like to, before beginning, I would like to greet you as one lady of faith used to say. She tried to say it before our former pastor, Pastor Keener. I'm sure you know who I mean. She said, "God loves you, and so do we, and so do I." And I repeat that also. God loves you, and so do I. And also my wife Eunice, I'm sure. I would like to read, nothing happens by accident with God. I was looking for a folder somewhere to put my notes, and lo and behold, there was some other things in there. I took them out, and there was this reading concerning worship. Worship is the believer's choice to seek and enjoy constant spiritual fellowship with God by learning to see Him through His Word and growing in His fear, honor, love for God. Leaning to Him constantly offer his heart to God's guiding presence, resulting in being transformed to Christ's image and overflowing to service. This is from the hand of Bruce W. Triplehorn. As a way of preface, I guess you could say, my personal disclosure statement. This writer is citing, used the following sources. First, Men's Devotional Bible, NIV, Lonergan. Second, New American Standard, Bible Study Bible. Third, the Expanded Bible, Thomas Nelson, Inc. And fourth, a good dictionary used as needed. I certainly do. Now, the above-mentioned sources and references were used to an attempt to facilitate the exegesis and interpretation of select verses and passages in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. If you're reading your Bibles, and the headings often has what it is about and the verses that are contain that. And so it goes from chapter 12, verse 1, to chapter, I believe, 40 it is, in 14. Okay, to try to make them more clear and understandable, etc. Of course, it goes without saying, prayer, comparing scripture with scripture, are vitally important to effective, productive Bible study. By way of introduction, I would like to read the preliminary section of the book of 1 Corinthians, which reads, Paul, while staying in Ephesus, Acts 1:19, writes this letter to the church he started in Corinth, Acts 28, verses 1 to 17. He addresses various problems he has heard about and answers questions they have asked of him in the letter. See 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. He places high priority on being obedient to Christ and and on striving for unity, humility, and love in the church. As you read this book, make a decision to seek the Lord's will in everything you do, and to work hard to be humble, to love others, and to become one spirit with your fellow believers. Now we're ready to begin the exegesis and interpretation of select verses, last passages in chapters 12 through 14. Number one, chapter 12 reads, quote, concerning spiritual gifts, NASB. The footnote reads, quote, first, quote, in chapters 12 through 14, Paul deals with the subject of spiritual gifts against a background of divisions and moral laxity. Here's where I used the dictionary, because I wasn't quite sure what laxity, kind of knew, but didn't really know. And it means carelessness. In a church that lacked no gift, see chapter 1, verse 7, which reads, gift, i.e. spiritual gift, found in chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Spiritual gifts are abilities that God gives believers in order that they may serve him. Every Christian has at least one gift, 1 Peter 4:10. At Corinth, all the various gifts were found within the group. Spiritual groups are discussed in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, in the ASV. Chapter 12 deals with the unity and diversity of the gifts. Chapter 1 with the power of love, that was 12. Chapter 13 with the power of love, and chapter 14 with the specific gifts of prophecy and tongues, and ASB. Now, still concerning gifts, the Schofield Reference Bible footnote says, to each believer is given a spiritual enablement, capacity for specific service. No believer is destitute or without gifts. The Schofield Reference Bible footnote quote says, quote, to each believer it is given a spiritual enablement and capacity for service. For specific service, excuse me. No believer, but in their distribution, the Spirit acts in free sovereignty. Verse 11. There is no room for self-choosing, and Christian service is simply the ministry of such a gift as the individual may have received. Romans 12, verses 4 through 8. The gifts are diverse. Verse 6, verses 8 through 10, verses 28 through 30. But all are equally honorable because they're bestowed by the same Spirit, administered under the same Lord, and energized by the same God. Schofield Reference Bible. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Quote, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that, quote, we are Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Therefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And God's people said, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to warn you not to believe / trust every radio and television and any other media, quote, preacher slash teacher. You should take what they said, written down, and compare it to the Holy Scriptures. If it, quote, aligns, squares up, end quote, with Holy Scripture, you can trust it, etc. But if it doesn't, ignore it, flee from it. I had this when I was preparing for this message. I had this happen to me. I had already taken a course in 1 Corinthians, had a textbook, and there was a series of assignments. So it was 1 Corinthians from 1 to 16, and it was broken down. It was sort of a verse-by-verse expository thing. That's when I was comparing, I was using my Men's Devotional Bible, NIV. I was using the Scofield Reference Bible, and I was using another Bible, the Expanded Bible, plus, again, the dictionary when I needed it. So, when I was reading this course, I won't name it or anything. It was a correspondence type course. For whatever reason, and I should have known better, I just sort of went with whatever the author said. And it was very, very, very wordy. I mean, it was very, a lot of detail. But I guess it didn't hit me until I was preparing for this message. Because what it said did not compare, I don't know what translation they were. Well, they were using King James, supposedly. It wasn't comparing to my Scofield Reference Bible, which is King James Version, or my NIV, or NASB, or NIV. I had to come to the realization that I had been deceived. Fortunately, that's not the only course that a Bible study or course that I've taken. I've taken, I'll say, over the years. And fortunately, I know the truth. So when you know the truth of Scripture, you can see when lies or truth, sort of partial truth, is disguised as a lamb or as an innocent thing. But it comes across like that, but then it's disguised as a wolf in sheep's clothing to deceive you. So anyway, beware. If you don't take my word for it, don't take my word for it. You study for yourself, like the Bereans did. If you have any doubts, ask a trusted Bible preacher, teacher. Another verse reading for verse 5, and it's there, different ways to serve, but the same Lord to serve. Concerning, and that's from the Expanded Bible. Concerning verse 7, the word manifestation, or put another way, something from the Spirit can be seen in each person for the common good. Expanded Bible. I like that this version, even though I use the others, because it's a Bible that's meant to be read, but it also has the study, like a literal word or whatever, another temporary word, comparative or whatever you want to say, word. Because words have more than one meaning sometimes, or a lot of times. Concerning verses, now we're still in chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. The footnote reads, quote, the word of wisdom, see verse 8, i.e. the communication of spiritual wisdom, end quote. The word of knowledge, verse 8, i.e. the communication of practical truth, end quote. Faith, verse 9, i.e. unusual reliance on God. Healing, gifts of healing, verse 9, including restoration of life. Acts 9, verse 40, Acts 20, verse 12. Prophecy, prophesy, verse 10, the ability to proclaim new revelation from God, concert the period. Distinguishing of spirits, verse 10, to discern true prophecies from false and satanic ones, period. An additional note regarding verse 10 is to another, quote, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, prophesy, to another, prophesy. The word, the footnote for this word, prophesy, states, quote, the New Testament prophet is not an ordinary foreteller, but rather a foreteller, one whose gift enabled him to speak to edification and exhortation and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Tongues and interpretation of tongues, verse 10. Ability to speak and interpret languages unknown to the speaker or the interpreter. Note, these gifts were necessary before the Word of God was written in ASV. Now concerning verses 12 through 31, again, we're still in chapter 12. Here Paul describes the relationship of gifted believers to each other, using the analogy of a human body. The Spirit has formed a spiritual organic unity of the many dissimilar or different members of the body of Christ. Verses 12 through 13. The constitutions of both the human body and the body of Christ demanded that all members, therein, even those that seem unimportant, function in harmony. Verses 14 through 20. Finally, the need for mutual dependence, respect, and care for each other is emphasized, verses 21 through 31, NASB. An interesting insight in his devotional titled, quote, Body Life, end quote, Paul Brand states, quote, if, now, I left out a lot, okay, because we're familiar with the body analogy, okay? But this is, I wanted to quote something that was different. So if all cells were the same, where would the body be? As it is, there are many cells, but one body. The analogy conveys more precise meaning to me because though a hand or a foot or an ear cannot have a life separate from the body, a cell does have that potential. It can be part of the body as a loyalist, or it can cling to its own life. Some cells do choose to live in the body, sharing its benefits, while maintaining complete independence. A dash. They become parasites or cancer cells. End quote. Taken from the NASB. Moving right along, concerning verse 25 reads, quote, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. The footnote for this, considering care, the word care, we take the cares of others on ourselves. We cast our own cares on our Lord. In other words, we should care for one another as Christ cares for us and Christ cares for all. It has been said that verse 31, I don't remember where I saw this, but I think I saw it. That verse, the last verse, chapter 12, the footnote for verse 31 reads, quote, the greater gifts, Baron as ranked in verse 28, the most excellent way means, quote, an entire manner of life that always displays love rather than always seeking to display one's spiritual gifts. In verse 1 of chapter 13, the word love, I guess all of us pretty much know this, but the Greek word is agape. The Greek word for love of an adorable object, especially love between man and woman, eros. Another Greek word, philia, or philio, or philio, however you pronounce it, refers to the love of friendship. Agape characterizes God, Baron 1 John 4:8. And what he has manifested in the gift of his Son, 3:16, it is more than mutual affection. It expresses unselfish esteem of the object loved. Christ's love for us is undeserved and without thought of return. The love that his followers show, Paul says, now says, should be the same. A noisy gong, along with the clanging cymbal, was associated with pagan worship. Okay, concerning, now we're on to 14. I could skip 13, chapter 13, the chapter of love, on purpose. Because we're all familiar with that pretty much. Concerning chapter 14, verse 1. Quote, pursue love, yet desire earnest spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The footnote, especially that you may prophesy. Prophecy is preferred over tongues because it is clear. Verse 3, it edifies the church. I use different means to sort of get the understanding, the full understanding of what I'm studying. Now, I'm going to read the words to let it be said of us. Oh, before I do that, I want to point out here, this came this morning, okay? Sometimes God has a way of, well, you're thinking of this, B, this, I'm going to say this, but then it comes to your mind, not in an audible fashion, but it comes to your mind, and you know it's from God. There's a thing, a conscience in your body, in your brain, and there's a spiritual spirit, which is in within you. You know when something is from God or not. So I have this came to me. The antidote to not having division, strife in the body of Christ. Now I want to read the words to let it be said of us. Let it be said of us that the Lord has our passion. I've seen people here who preached here or do their ministry with love and compassion because of what Christ means to them. The words are, quote, let it be said of us that the Lord was our passion, that the gladness we bore, every cross we were given, that we fought the good fight, that we finished the course, knowing within us the power of the risen Lord. Let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. By mercy, made holy. By the Spirit, made strong. Let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. To the likeness, to the likeness of Jesus, be through made us known. Let the cross be our glory, and the Lord be our song. Now this is not in there, but I'm not sure what it's in. We're able to sing these songs, these favorite hymns that we have, and we have all different ones, but that's okay. Because they speak of the same Lord, think of that verse, the same Lord, same baptism, the same faith. This is what unites us. This is what unifies us. Okay? Not what is in the book, the Bible. The truths contained there, especially in chapter 12 through 14. But especially chapter 13. I'm sorry, I can continue. The lyrics of this song. Let it be said of us, we were marked by forgiveness. The Pastor Bill's been in the series, and forgive the word dissect, or sort of taking apart the Lord's Prayer, or more correctly, the model prayer that our Lord gave the disciples about love, loving one another, but also forgiveness. For in the Lord's Prayer, you know how that goes. We forgive those who have trespassed or sinned against us. We were known by our love and delighted in meekness. We were ruled by his peace, heeding unity's call. Joined as one body. I appreciate Brother Butch there when he sings up here and he's giving those gestures. That's because he feels that. Okay? Yeah. It's like what I do. I know sometimes, baby, I do too much. I say amen. praise the Lord. I think I used to hear a lot more of that before when we first started coming here. I mean, we say it, but I don't think we say it enough. Do you know what amen means? Or one of the means? I'm sure you do. It means let it be so. And when we're talking about the Word of God, especially when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, when we pray for peace in our country, now, I don't want to get off on too emotional about things as I do. I'm getting close to 60 now, which is not that old. I don't consider myself a senior citizen yet, but I'm a junior citizen. So hymns, they just have more meaning, or the same meaning. I feel more. There's emotion, more emotional there. There's the memory. I think someone, said the music, there's a memory, music memory. When somebody is, I've heard this said, and I believe it, when somebody is in a coma, whether it's medically induced or happened due to trauma, often they say, and I believe it to be so, that the last sense to be cut off, or stop working, or whatever you want to call it, lose, is the sense of hearing. And I think God Himself, our great creator and designer, gave us 2 ears for a reason. One mouth, 2 ears. Okay. And we delighted in meekness. We were ruled by his peace, heeding unity's call, joined as one body, that Christ would be seen by all. Now, I like this part. I think this explains it. Now again, nothing happens by accident with the Lord. What I'm about to read was in a bulletin. It was in an insert, separate by itself. Okay? But when I was doing my pairing, as I said, when I saw this, I knew right away that was part of something I could share. I want to read this, the antidote of not having division /strife in the body of Christ is love. For the most excellent way, I imagine the pastor titled it this way, and it's true. It goes to, it's titled The Agape Way. Now that's in the front of your thing, so you can follow along with it. You see anybody getting it now? The agape way, or the way of love. Or the love that Jesus wants to show to the world, he has said, we will be known by, and he will be known by a love. Okay, I'm pretending. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Doesn't force itself on others. Isn't always, in quotes, me first. Doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of sins of others, i.e. forgiveness. Forgive as we have been forgiven. does not revel with others' rubble. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. End quote. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8a, the message. Now, Steve, Steve is going to lead us in what we're going to do.